Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Make sure you tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Bulls dynasty. Series continues Sunday at 6 Pacific on ESPN Television. Listen to the wrap-up show with Sliwa and myself on the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter account, presented by AT&T, State Farm, and Cincoro Tequila and Coors Light. Real quick, though, got to tell you about our friends at Nature Valley. Nature Valley Sweet and Salty Bars. You'll love the new Sweet and Salty Minis. It's all about indulgent savory goodness, you know, now in a smaller size and at 100 calories. Snacking has never been so sweet. So, thanks to Michael Cooper for joining us. Thanks to PJ Carlissimo for joining us. Charles Barkley will join us in 30 minutes. But a couple of things I want to get into. So, there's some newsy stuff with the NBA that I want to touch on. And Brian Windhorst was on SportsCenter yesterday, and he was on his podcast, The Hoop Collective, and had some comments about the potential of the NBA season. Now, I have told you how positive I feel about the return of the NBA season, right? I have told you numerous times that I think this will get done. Ramona is also in the same side as I am when it comes to this stuff. If I had to guess, this is just my guess, I feel like July, August will have NBA games. That's just my personal opinion. It's, I would say, an educated guess is the way I would describe it. But Brian has come up with a couple of things that maybe even pushing that back a little further. So, Laura, let me hear the first one that's labeled Brian 4. Let me hear Brian number 4. That's the cut. And it's from the Hoop Collective podcast, and it's about the NBA resuming. Let me hear it.
One of the things that has been discussed is, all right, why don't we just shut down for now and start again in the fall and start by picking up this season and finishing it and then proceeding right into the next season, basically having a year with no offseason. Now, there would be some complications with that, with the draft and free agency. You could maybe have the draft over the summer and then the players wouldn't play right away. While you finished, my guess in that scenario was it would just be a playoff only. But as a total one-off sort of solution, why not just say, hey, listen, let's just let everything calm down.
Now, I know that that is at least one of the bazillion things they're discussing, but let me tell you something right now, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. I think that is a terrible idea, okay? First of all, all the medical professionals, right, that are on television that you can read about, all the health experts are telling you that if there's going to be a second wave, it's going to be in the fall or the winter. So if you're going to get anything in, the chances of getting anything in are best in the summertime. So that on the surface already, I am dismissing completely. Like, there is no way I think that the NBA can go forward with that. And my guess is they will talk to plenty of health experts that will tell them that that is a terrible idea. Number two, also, you're going to play back-to-back concurrently? Like, I just don't think that makes sense either. Guys are going to be exhausted. You're going to put guys who actually, even if by his measure, if you just do the playoffs, the guys who have to do the playoffs and then start the regular season again are going to be exhausted. They're going to be at an inherent disadvantage. So just from a basketball reason standpoint, I think that, and that's not Brian's opinion, by the way. That is something, as you heard him say at the beginning, it's one of the things being discussed. And I'm telling you right now that you have to summarily dismiss that just on basketball reasons, let alone health reasons. I think it's just a silly thing. I get that we got to throw everything up against the wall right now, and we got to have every possibility because you have to do your due diligence. But there's no way on God's green earth that I think anybody would go for any of that stuff, let alone whether it's the health officials or let alone the Players Association. Greg, you're with me, right? Like, there's no way even you would argue against this.
No, there's nothing to argue against there. You're absolutely right. If it's going to start up again, if the COVID's going to start up all over again in the fall or winter, you can't just wait till then.
No, right. And again, that again, the health experts believe that if is the key word, we don't know, if there's going to be another flare-up, it's probably going to be at that time. So if you're going to have a lull, potentially, right, in theory, and we can get the testing to where we need, because constantly we've been talking about that, we've been reinforcing that. Testing, testing, testing is the key. And then these leagues can get going. You're going to have to do it in the summer. That will be your only window, and to do it without fans. Like, I just don't think it makes any sense to do it otherwise. And delaying only puts you in a bigger bind, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, the whole back-to-back season thing is just ridiculous. That one makes absolutely zero sense to me.
No way in hell. I don't think anyone would go for it.
No, could you imagine LeBron being like, yeah, no offseason, fantastic, even though he kind of has one right currently. It's just, no, you're not going to go into the finals and then start up right again. No, you need some time off to celebrate.
No, it's not only just that. It's just like you're putting their bodies through like an incredible amount of stress. Like, if you thought there was load management before, what the hell do you think will happen here? Like, there's no way in hell that players are going to agree to something like that.
No, Kawhi Leonard's going to sit out like half the season in that case.
Yeah. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. I'm curious to get your thoughts on that. We'll get your thoughts on that in a second. Real sad news, by the way, in the world of sports. We talked about it during Crosstalk, myself with Key and LZ and those guys, about the passing of Don Shula. Look, I'm just going to say this. Like, the Dolphins, you know, for many years, I Max talked about this recently on First Take, and we had kind of mentioned it, like, during the draft. The Dolphins have a national fan base. Like, Dan Marino, Don Shula, like, there's people my age or older that are lifelong Dolphins fans because of what Don Shula was able to accomplish, and, you know, just how awesome it was to watch Marino, because he was an incredible phenom at a time where they were kind of ahead of their time with their passing game. And, you know, now everybody plays like that. But back then, that wasn't the case, and the rules weren't necessarily favorable back then to play that style, but they did it in an incredible fashion anyway, and had one of the highest winning percentages, even though they didn't win a Super Bowl together, of any team in any professional sports in their run together. But it is just kind of a sad day. You know what I mean? Like to think about what that man meant to football, and I don't want to go too, sappy on you, but, you know, the NFL wasn't always king, guys. Like, that wasn't always the case. And guys like Don Shula, who were icons and pioneers, really were the reason behind it becoming as popular as it did, right? Like, the 70s were the initial phase of the NFL starting to hit real popularity. I know the Packers before then, you know, and Vince Lombardi were kind of the originators, but it wasn't until the 70s that the NFL really started to get on the map, with the Dolphins and Shula, the Madden Raiders, Chuck Knoll and the Steelers. Like, those three teams in particular were the teams that really set the trend moving forward as America started to shift slowly but surely into a football country. As much as baseball was still the pastime at that point, that's where it really, really began. As much as they, you know, the Super Bowl and that being created and the Packers winning the first couple, yes, I know that they're the most historic franchise if you go beyond the Super Bowl era. But those three teams, really, the Raiders, the Steelers, and Dolphins, got it all started. Then in the 80s, you had the Cowboys, right, really kind of get into their own. You know, the 70s, I guess, had the Cowboys, too, with Tom Landry. And then, you know, the 80s were basically the Niners. Like, they dominated that era. And then it really flipped. The 90s with Marino, you know, the Niners, the Cowboys again kind of having their resurgence another time with Jimmy Johnson and that group. But all of that is really owed to two guys. It's Vince Lombardi and Don Shula. And, you know, maybe before that, George Halas. But in the Super Bowl era, Don Shula was as important a figure as anyone. That undefeated season, you know, I remember my dad was an immigrant, you know, an exile coming from Cuba who didn't know American football and fell in love with American football because of that team and what they were doing as he came to this country and, you know, was working, you know, three jobs and all that stuff. And you know, on Sundays when he had a day off, could watch that team play football. And in essence, I became a football fan because of my dad, right? So like most of us, right? Whether it was your dad, your uncle, your grandfather, you know, your brother, whoever, mom, dad, you know, it doesn't matter. Somebody in your life created that opportunity for you. So it is sad that he passed away, but he lived a great life, man. You know, 90 years, that's a great life. And I just hope he's, you know, him and his family, I wish them their condolences. And I hope that the football world recognizes him properly, and I'm sure they will. Speaking of the Dolphins, though, they have done this thing. Greg, have you seen this thing with the Dolphins where they're trying to implement social distancing for the potential fan return to stadiums?
No. Tell me.
Okay, let's do that on the other side. We'll get to that. Charles Barkley's coming up at 11:30. We'll tell you how the Dolphins are trying to lead the way for the NFL and for football in general to social distance. We'll get to that. We'll take some calls for you at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Are you in on this NBA season trying to do back-to-back seasons in the winter? I just think that is a disaster written all over. We'll get to all that coming up. Stick around. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting your business with specialized coverages for your commercial vehicles. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. And tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast with our friend Mina Kimes, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review the ESPN Daily with our buddy Mina Kimes, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Charles Barkley coming up in 15 minutes. We'll talk to Chuck about a million things, because let's face it, I mean, we could talk to Chuck about anything. I guess we'll talk to him about The Last Dance, but there's really not anything we can't talk to him about. PJ Carlissimo was telling us earlier that he used to try to steal the pot, when he was playing against coaches, and he'd play cards with them on these trips during the Nike Summit and during the Dream Team era. So we'll talk to Charles about a million things. We'll always have fun. We always appreciate his time.
That's just good poker, by the way. Sorry, that's just good poker, by the way.
Just pushing people around because you got more money?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're willing to go all in to see what I got, it's the right way to go.
All right, put up a poll right now on ESPN Los Angeles. Is pushing people around and going all in constantly in poker a good strategy? Because that's what you're saying, right?
It just depends. To a certain extent, not every single hand. But when there's a bunch of money in there, you have to put people into a spot of like, all right, am I willing to risk everything to see what you got? And if he's got the money and he doesn't care,
okay.
Then
so how would he want to phrase this?
Is it okay to push on people in poker if you've got all the money?
That's a terrible way to describe it. I would say, how about we do this? Is it okay to continually push people around with your chip stack in poker? How about that?
Perfectly fine. That I'll agree with that.
Okay. So anyway, let's move on. So we mentioned the Dolphins. So the guys in the morning were talking about this a little bit too, where their CEO apparently is talking to certain, I don't know what health officials he's talking to, but they're trying to be the first stadium to socially distance and get fans in. Now, they have a 65,000 seat stadium, okay? And they're saying that they would max capacity at 15,000. And they would basically have people come in and out of the stadium by rows, kind of like you would do on a plane. And they would spread out 15,000 people over the 65,000-seat stadium. I don't know about you, Greg. First of all, there's already challenges here because most teams, including them, have season ticket holders that, you know, a base that's much larger than that. I think the Dolphins' season ticket base is about like 55, almost 60,000. And my guess is if like you're the Rams or the Chargers or the Raiders in Vegas, like your season ticket base is at least in the tens of thousands, right? So, I mean, is it worth it? Like, I just don't know if you were a consumer, okay, and you were a season ticket holder and they told you, Greg, you can come to the Raiders game in Vegas. We're only going to have 15,000 people here and we're going to socially distance. We're going to keep everybody separate. Would you go to the game?
No. Absolutely not.
Yeah,
because you can't figure there's what if you've got to go to the bathroom and you're using things and you're washing your hands, or if you're, you know, going up and getting food or whatever, you're still going to be touching things and there's going to be people around you. It's you can't completely social distance in that type of situation. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think that that seems a little, I mean, I'm an optimist. Clearly, we've discussed this. But this seems even more optimistic. Like, I just don't think that that makes any sense whatsoever. Like, I wouldn't take the chance, even if I was a regular, a season ticket holder for any of these teams. And look, I get you got to think outside the box. I do. I get it. I am Mr. Positivity when it comes to sports coming back. I just think you're going to have to do it without fans. And ESPN, by the way, conducted a poll recently where it says that 65% of fans are absolutely totally okay with fans, with games happening with no fans. And they've even gone even further to say that 76% of fans believe that number grew to 76% when participants asked if they support the return of sports without fans in the stands if players were kept in hotels and their contact with others was closely monitored. So in essence, three quarters of people who voted in this poll done by ESPN will tell you, yeah, I'm good without fans. Like, we don't need to have fans for this to work.
No, I mean, look, we work in a business where we get to go to a lot of games, which is fantastic, and I love it. But I'm okay sitting on my couch and watching these games. I'd rather watch the games than not have them. So if I'm watching them at home, fine. I don't have any interest in going near people in the stadium right now in that large amount of group. 15,000 people? No, too many.
Yeah, I don't get this at all. You know, and I get it. Over 15,000 people over a span of 65,000 seats, like, would be distant enough in theory. I just wouldn't take that chance. Like, if I were a season ticket holder, I'd be like, thanks, no thanks, give my tickets to someone else. Because you'd have to figure out how you're going to let these season ticket holders in anyway. You'd have to do some sort of system. Like, LZ was talking about doing it by alphabetical order or whatever, or something like that, by last name. It just seems like a lot could go wrong there, and I just have no interest in doing anything like that.
Yeah, like, how do the people that have, like, the lower bowl seats start getting in opposed to the guys in the upper bowl? And, you know, does it go by how much you pay? And there's way too many things
right
to figure out.
It would probably, if it's done like an airline, they're going to do it by rows, right? So it would be like, I'm sure the lower level people would come in first, or maybe last. I don't know. Like, it just depends on how they wanted to do it. But yeah, it just seems like way too ambitious for me. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. I'm curious to hear from you guys. Would you, if you were a season ticket holder to any team, it doesn't have to be the Dolphins. The Dolphins are just the team that are trying to do this and implement this. Would you take a chance and go into a 65,000-seat stadium as one of 15,000 fans that were allowed to go to the game? Because I wouldn't take that particular chance. Laura, would you, if you were allowed to go to one of these games, would you go?
No, it's not worth it for me. I mean, it's kind of cool to be like, I was there and because of what's going on. So that has a little bit intrigued me. But at the end of the day, I wouldn't put my health at risk or anyone around me at risk.
Yeah, I just don't think it makes sense. Go ahead, Greg.
No, I was just saying that's the biggest part of it too, is that you're not, it's not just you that you're putting at risk. It's by you going, you're putting everybody else that's around you at risk at the same time. And it just, it kind of blows my mind that the people are starting to even do this. Oh, look, I'm one of those people right now that I'm starting to get that, you know, that island fever type deal being inside my apartment, but not for this. I wouldn't do it for this.
Yeah, I'm with you. By the way, Charles just texted me. He's got to do 11:45, so we'll just push him back. So basically, we will end the show with Charles Barkley today. But yeah, I'm with you. And look, if we were in a much better situation, right, I would say, okay, let's do it. The health officials are okay doing it without fans. Why do we have to push the envelope here? Like, this doesn't make any sense. And I felt like the NFL was going to be, or college football was going to be the first to try to do that, and here we are.
Yeah, I don't understand why they're even thinking about this right now. I mean, I understand you want to get fans and you want to make the money that you get at the gate and at the parking and with the concessions, but No, if the fact of the matter is that 3/4 of your poll that you were talking about said no, which is should really tell you something, because usually Twitter and people on those polls are like, no, 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 yeah, I'd go because it's anonymous, and they're saying no.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I don't think it makes sense. By the way, there are real sports coming back tonight, 10 o'clock, ESPN. What do we got, Greg?
We got the KBO. The baseball is back. It's locally, 10 p.m. locally, the KBO, which is the Korean Baseball Organization, has opening day tonight to have, so you can actually watch live sports, live baseball.
Wow. There you have it. Live baseball.
I'm excited.
I am excited too, to be honest with you. I feel like I will watch. Are you going to watch?
Yeah, I mean, I've been trying to go to bed around 10, 11 o'clock, but I am going to absolutely stay up at 10 o'clock and turn on ESPN and watch some live sports. And I'm going to maybe, you know, put a wager here or there.
It is the beauty. By the way, I bet horse racing this weekend with a buddy of mine who bets the ponies all the time. It was we've had mixed results, you know, on 2 days of gambling. One day went well, the other day not so well. So
hey, but it was something. You got something live there.
Yeah, for sure. I do a thing. We got some action with the ponies. Did you see there was a virtual Kentucky Derby and Secretariat won? Like, they were going to let Secretariat lose.
Right. No, you can't do that. That's not possible. But do you know who the teams are for the KBO? I mean,
I don't. Give it to me. I need to pick a team. Let's all pick teams.
Right. We're going to do this for the entire station, but maybe we can do it just for our show, possibly. But Doosan Bears. They won the Korean series last year. They were 88-55. The SK Wyverns, where it came in second place. The Kaiwoom Heroes, LG Twins, NC Dinos, KT Wiz, the Kia Tigers, or KIA Tigers, Samsung Lions. Oh, it's Kia. Kia Tigers, Samsung Lions, Hanwha Eagles, and Lotte Giants were in last place. Of course, the Giants are in the last place.
Right. Right. So we got to figure this out. We're going to have to pick teams. We'll do that. I want to get people's thoughts on everything that's going on. 877-710-ESPN. Would you go to a game if you were allowed to go with only 15,000 fans in a football stadium that seats, you know, 60, 70,000? Would you do it? Would you take that risk? I'm not one of them. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Sedona Show with you here on 710-ESPN. Charles Barkley coming up in 15 minutes. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Attention SSI recipients, if you don't file a tax return last year, or if you didn't file a tax return last year and have children over 17, you got to act right now. I'm trying to get you $500 with the economic impact payment per child. If you don't act by May 5th, which is tomorrow, by the way, may the 4th be with you. You must wait until next year to get those payments. Go to the IRS website, irs.gov, and enter your information in the non-filer tool by May 5th, which is tomorrow. That's irs.gov. This message is produced by the Social Security at U.S. taxpayers' expense. Charles Barkley will be joining us in a moment. As I mentioned, if you missed any one of our interviews earlier with Michael Cooper or PJ Carlissimo, check out the entire interview on demand section on the Sedano Show podcast, on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google, wherever you find your podcast. Brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checking or savings account with no fees or minimum. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, NA member FDIC. So, real quick, we've been talking about this ridiculous plan by the Dolphins to try to, and my guess is the NFL will look into it too, and football in general, which is my biggest fear, of trying to get 15,000 fans in a 65,000 seat stadium. I call it ridiculous, maybe because I'm applying my own sensibilities. Now, if you want to go, have at it, man. It's just not my cup of tea. Like, I ain't taking that risk. But we got people on hold who will. And we'll get to them here in a second at 877-710-ESPN. God bless you. 877-710-3776. Let's go with Tony real quick in the LBC. Tony, you would go to one of these games?
Georgie, what's going on?
What's up?
Our Dolphins play in Las Vegas this year. They play in San Francisco this year. They play in Arizona this year. I've been waiting for this West Coast swing for a while. I am going to every single game, and like you said, I just hope that the season goes through. Like you said, you think it's crazy, 15,000 and a 65,000, that's like every fourth seat is empty. I mean, I feel like I'm more crowded walking around in a grocery store. So, yeah, like I said, I'm definitely going to all the West Coast Dolphin games.
So, Tony, you know, look, I'm not so worried about the actual seating experience. I'm worried about other things, like getting in and out of the stadium, because let's face it, people are going to get liquored up, right? Like, there's no football game where people aren't tailgating and getting all liquored up. And then the other part of it is this, like, when you got to go to the bathroom, like, how's that going to work? Is there going to be, like, a bathroom attendant there letting people in and out?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you watched that Dolphins video like I did, and they're going to, like they said, have church-style arrangements leaving, you know, Section A, Section B, Section C. So I can see it all happening. It's just you got to put the pieces in the right spot, and I think it would all work out.
All right, Tony. Well, good luck to you, brother. Appreciate it. Thank you for the call. Stay healthy.
I don't know. I ain't doing that thing, man.
Tony, I love you, but I no thanks. Not for me.
No, does this count as hashtag because Florida, by the way?
I mean, he lives in Long Beach.
No, I'm talking about for the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah. This
absolutely counts, right? Okay, good.
Oh, there's no question. To the list. Yeah. Hashtag because Florida. There's no question. Yeah, for sure. Nason. Nason is in Rancho Santa Margarita. What's up, Nason? What do you think of this? Does this seem crazy to you or what?
Well, I totally, you know, I go to Lowe's on the weekends. I go to the grocery store myself and practice social distancing with the mask on and all that. I just think, you know, if I got a ticket to go to the game, and I can do the same procedures I do at Lowe's or grocery store, I'm totally there, man.
Okay, Nason. Well, look, it's funny you say that, because my wife went to Home Depot the other day because we needed to grab like a little can of paint for touch-up. And she says that it was the strictest place that she's been as far as the way they do the social distancing. Like, it was insane. Like, way more strict than the grocery stores and whatnot. I would just, again, my thing is like the bathrooms, the coming in and out, right? Like that, I would have to see it before I would do it. Like I would let other people, if you want to volunteer, Nason, you and Tony from Long Beach, I'll let you guys volunteer first and then I'll figure it out.
Yeah, I just think if you're a sports fan and you got an opportunity to be a part of history like that, for me anyway, it would be worth the risk if I'm safe myself. So that's what I think.
Who are you a fan of? Who's your team?
I'm a major Cowboy fan, actually, so.
Well, there's 100,000 seats there, so if you went to a game there.
I'd be totally safe there. But, yeah, I just think in principle, if you're a diehard fan, you have the opportunity to go and keep distance. I think it'd be worth it myself. Otherwise, if I didn't think that way, I'd never go to the grocery store or to Lowe's, you know. I'd just stay home, so.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get that part of it. And thank you for the call. But, you know, those things, the difference between that is that those are out of necessity. Like, we all need to eat. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you need stuff at Lowe's because things break in your house or Home Depot or wherever. You know what I mean? Like, that would be, to me, those are more essential than going to a football game. It's just me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how it is at Home Depot. I haven't been to a Home Depot, but the
grocery store. Oh, my wife says it's incredibly strict. Like, it's wild.
Yeah, I mean, like, you in a grocery store, you have to stay pretty socially distanced. Like, there's a line out the door with 6 feet in between. And there's when you're actually at the line at the register, you have to wait 6 feet in between.
They've got marks on the floor.
Right, exactly. So, I mean.
Well, they said that they would do that at the stadium, too. That's what they're saying.
I mean, are they going to just cut off one of the urinals each time? I don't know. It's
also think
odd.
Alcohol. Like, do you sell alcohol then? Like, because people get sloppy when you drink, man.
Oh, yeah, especially if you never know how much they're going to drink, and then, you know, they walking over someone, give them a high five, and you're like, no, get away from me, man. And then you're causing fights. Seems a little odd. I'm not in on it yet.
Yeah, I'm not in on that either. 877-710-ESPN if you want to hop aboard. 877-710-3776. It just doesn't feel like something I would want to do. Like, I don't know. It's not my cup of tea. Like I said, if Nason and Tony and anyone else wants to try it first, look, God bless you. Like, I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm just telling you, I sure as hell wouldn't be the person to do it.
Yeah. It's just like the vacations. You're not telling anybody not to go on vacation, but you're not doing it.
Do what you want. We are all grown men and women here. Okay. We are adults. You can do whatever you want. I will choose not to do any of that stuff. That's just it.
Nope.
Yeah. Real quick, I wanted to double back, since we're going to have Charles on in a couple of minutes, about Kobe and yesterday and his appearance on The Last Dance. And it just, you know, how emotional it was. I would imagine, and if you want to weigh in on that, I would love to hear people's thoughts on just kind of the initial emotions or feelings that ran through you as you saw him on the screen, not just playing with Michael in that All-Star game, but when he was actually speaking about Michael and what Michael meant to him and how there wouldn't be five championships if it wasn't for the guidance that Michael provided. Because for all the talk about, you know, how close they were as far as players, you know, there's plenty of stories about just their relationship. And it's kind of wild how some of this stuff has come about posthumously, yeah, with Kobe. You know what I mean? Like, Jackie McMullen had a great story yesterday on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt about these two guys and about the lockout and the strike of 1998 and how that really was kind of the impetus for them. So I thought we may have had the sound there. That's my bad. No worries. All right, let me hear Jackie then real quick. Go ahead, Laura.
So he was going to talk trash to Kobe and try to beat him. But afterwards, what does he say to him? Hey, kid, call me anytime. And Kobe did. In fact, during the lockout shortened season, the 98-99 season, when they weren't playing, he called and spent an hour on the phone talking to Jordan about how to body up against bigger defenders, bigger, stronger guards. He was having trouble with that. And that started almost a two-decade-long correspondence, because all Kobe wanted to be was Michael. And Michael didn't mind it. He saw a lot of himself in Kobe.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were mirror images of each other, it felt like, in a lot of ways, personality-wise, clearly playing style. Tim Legler was on with me yesterday, because on ESPN Radio on the network on Sundays at 5 o'clock, I do like the lead-up show to The Last Dance, like they call it Countdown to the Dance or whatever. And Legler joined me, you know, and Tim, he played against Michael, he played against Kobe early in his career, and then obviously covered Kobe's entire career. And I'm of the opinion that very few teach the game like Legler does from an X's and O's standpoint with his work on SportsCenter. So, I mean, he talked about Kobe being the best comp to MJ ever.
For me, the greatest comparison to Michael Jordan is actually Kobe Bryant. If you go and look at their body type, their size, their position, their skill set, the way that I think they were the two best mid-range contested jump shooters in history. That's where they operated the majority of their game. Yeah, they could step out later in their careers. They could make threes. They both are crazy athletic finishers. But if you really look at why they had so much success as champions, it's because of their ability to control the middle area of the floor.
Yeah, I mean, they were masterful. You know what I mean? At the way they were able to just kind of create room for themselves in, you know, the high post or the, you know, the low block or on the baseline, like just all those things that they were able to do, just incredible. And the way Kobe was able to really master everything Michael was able to do in a lot of ways, just fascinating to kind of see the evolution of it. And, you know, YouTube is a great thing for us now as a tool where we can just kind of watch back and see all those things. Let's go to the phones real quick. We've got Greg. Did you want to weigh in?
I was just going to say, when it came back to that Jackie McMullen piece, is that a lot of times young players have a huge ego. They don't need anything from anybody else. They know everything. They've got it all figured out already. And as a young player, he didn't even care. He still, once Jordan gave him the opportunity to call him, he took it and ran with it and became the player that
he was. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you should. That's good advice for any young person. If an old person is willing, or older person is willing to give you some love, take it, man. Take it. Let's go to James in Irvine real quick. James, what's up?
Yeah, I was just speaking about the NFL social distancing. As a big Raiders fan, I will wear a hazmat suit. I will wear whatever I have to wear just to go to Vegas to watch the Raiders. Play at the new SoFi Stadium and the new Raider Stadium in Las Vegas. I don't care if we're 4 feet apart from each other. I'm going to the game no matter what.
Okay. Well, I mean, look, that's cool. I'll do this, James. How about this? Like I told the last guy, Nason, you go first, and if it's safe, then I'll go after. Is that cool?
Yeah, and then will you go with me to a Raiders game then on the second game in L.A.?
If it's safe, I'll go with you. How about that, James?
All right. I appreciate everything you've done. Thank you.
All right, man. Thank you so much. Take care. Take care. Let me grab Ray in Granada Hills before we go to break and talk to Charles Barkley. Ray, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm a nurse, and I have to say that the nursing community who actually deals with COVID would say that this is insanity. One of the things that people don't understand about this virus that we're just learning as time is going on is this is not just a respiratory virus like a cold or a flu. It gets into your circulatory system and infects your cardiovascular system, causing strokes and heart attacks. And these things perpetuate or propagate later in the progression of the disease. For example, you can test positive, have no symptoms. We send you home, and at the end of the month, you come back with a stroke or a heart attack. So stay home, people.
Thank you, Ray. Appreciate it from a medical, someone in the medical community. Thank you, Ray. All right, take a break. We're back in 3 minutes with Charles Barkley. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Charles Barkley is supposed to join us here in just a second, giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Don't forget to tune in to The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Bulls dynasty. The series continues Sunday at 6 p.m. Pacific on ESPN Television. And, of course, listen to the wrap-up show with Sliwa and myself on the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter account immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm, Cincoro Tequila, and our friends at Coors Light. I am pretty stunned, though, at how many people were just willing to go to the football stadium just based on this based on this news that the Dolphins will try to present a 15,000 people socially distanced at a 65,000 seat stadium. Like, man, I again, y'all can do it first. I'm not telling you don't do it, but it just wouldn't be something I would try right out of the gate.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm not too shocked by it, just because there's a lot of people that are out there right now that thinks that this is not anything. They still believe it's a flu, and they're just like, oh, no, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do whatever I want. I mean, you see people, tens of thousands of people at the beach down in Newport, everyone, over the last couple weekends. It's people just do what they want. And that's fine. It's their call.
It's their prerogative. I'm not trying to tell people what to do, but I do believe, like Ray, stay home. It will help everyone. It will help us get through this quicker if we just all kind of got, you know, on the same page. That's just my personal opinion. But however, I do believe that it's one of the things where you need to, you know, I just am a firm believer in just adhering to. Charles is ready, Laura. You can call him, he says.
The rules?
I would just adhere to the experts, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's it. Like, that's just on anything. Like, if I were investing in Wall Street, I would listen to the experts. If I'm in this situation, I would listen to the medical experts. Charles Barkley is an expert on many things, and I love talking to him. Chuck, first of all, how you feeling, man? I know that you know, you had a little bit of a scare a while ago.
Oh, I'm good, brother. Hey, stop using the word expert. There's no such thing as an expert. Stop it.
I mean, you're an expert on food, right?
I'm a connoisseur of food. I'm not an expert.
All right, sounds good. Well, I'm glad that you're okay. You know, look, we were just talking about this, you know, because I'm curious to see if you saw this plan that the Dolphins want to lay out for the rest of these football teams, where they would socially distance and have only 15,000 people in the stands, and they would have people come in and out like if they were on an airplane and board through rows. I just feel like that's doing too much, man. Like, the medical experts like Dr. Fauci are telling us, hey, you can play sports, just no fans. I think people are trying to get ahead of themselves, Charles. What do you make of all this stuff?
Well, I think, number one, that's a stupid idea. But I the greatest line I've heard recently was by Tim Kirchner, who does a fabulous job on baseball. And he said this, and I agree with him 100%. All these ideas are bad. We just going to have to take the best bad idea and start playing sports at some point. He says, there's no good way to do this. All the you know, everybody's got an idea. They're all bad ideas. We're just going to have to take the best bad idea and start playing sports. So that's a bad idea. I think that, let's be realistic. We just want to play sports without fans for at least the next 2 to 3 months, at least at the fall at the earliest. Any sport that's going to be played in the next 2 to 3 months, you can't have fans. It's that simple.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I'd just be happy with anything. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if we can get back to any slice of normalcy, Charles, I'd be okay with that. And I think the majority of people would be okay with that, too.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've always said being a policeman, a fireman, a doctor, somebody in service, I really admire somebody who has like a real job. And a shout out to all the first responders and nurses out there who, you know, normally only a cop or a fireman has to risk their life. And now we got all these amazing first people who are working in hospitals risking their life. But let me say this, man. Sports important. I've never realized that more than going through this corona thing. Man, having no sports, because what it does is, George, it just gives you something to take away from reality. And if we don't have sports, there's nothing to talk about except this bad virus. And, man, we really, like I say, sports ain't really important in the big picture, but, damn, we sure need them, man, because I'm so tired of, number one, being home, but just not being able to just watch a great golf match, a great football game, a great baseball game. Like, man, sports are really important. Like, they're not important in the big picture, but they really are important.
Charles Barkley hanging out with us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. It's why The Last Dance has been such a panacea for everybody, because every Sunday everyone's kind of locked in, and you were featured heavily here in this last couple of episodes. Charles, I just had PJ Carlissimo on because I want to talk to you about the Dream Team, and I know he was on that staff. He told me to tell you, we were talking about the card games, and he said that you were being the pushy poker player, not just then, because you said you learned that from Michael, but back at the Nike camps and stuff that you would do with them, that you were pushing the coaches around. Now, can you confirm or deny that you were the pushy poker player when playing with the coaches?
Well, what happened was, okay, see, when you play poker with Michael and Magic and Scotty, me and Scotty are the two poorest people at the table. So Michael and Magic always try to buy the pot. They keep raising until your blood pressure goes up. So when I got a chance to be with those coaches, I know I made more than all those coaches. So I was pushing those damn coaches around. I was like, no, when I play with these NBA guys, Michael always try to buy the pot, him and Magic. No, like, so when Nike took me and Michael on those coaches trip, yeah, I tried to bully those coaches. He's 100% correct.
You know, listen, if he did it to you, I guess it's fair play. But nobody likes a pushy poker player, Charles.
Hey, man, let me tell you something. When you ain't got the best hand, all you got to do is keep raising, and everybody has a breaking point.
Clearly that's the case. Hey, man, let's talk about that Dream Team time with you guys. I mean, look, clearly you guys were rock stars out there, but what would you say is the best way to describe how that was with that experience for you guys out there in Barcelona?
Well, it's the most intense thing I've ever been through. The practices, because it was so much ego and pride involved. If you go back and look, and they talked about it a little bit in the show last night, so Michael and Scotty, not Michael and Scotty, Michael and Clyde hated each other. So Clyde thought he was as good as Michael. So then me and Karl Malone were the two best power forwards at the time. So we were trying to prove it. You had Patrick Ewing and David Robinson who was trying to prove who was the best center. And if you remember, Magic had got shut down in the finals by Scottie Pippen. So Magic was playing like it was game seven, going at him every day. So the practices were so intense and crazy. It's the most intense and best thing I've ever experienced in my life. The games were easy, obviously, but the practices every day were so intense and incredible. But, you know, we didn't realize until we got to Barcelona how big we were. You know, George, when we would, like, to leave the hotel to get on the bus was probably about 20 feet. And there was 5,000 to 10,000 people out there every single day just screaming when guys would walk the length of to get on the bus. It started out 3,000. By the first week, it was 5,000. By the end of the second week, it was close to 10,000. And then on the way to wherever we were going, there was a helicopter above the bus. There was a police escort in front and in back. And on each side of the bus, they had two guys on motorcycles, and each one of them had a machine gun. And it was crazy the amount of fanfare that we was, and like, it took, I can't remember how long it was. There was people standing along the highway holding up signs for different, obviously Michael Magic and Bird got most of the signs, but there were people standing on the highway holding up signs. It was amazing. It was flat out amazing.
Charles, the other thing we saw yesterday was you play against Michael in the finals. And look, I was in high school when you played in that finals, so I remember it vividly. Like, I remember all this stuff vividly. But there's a lot of young players out there and young people out there who didn't see that. And what was it like for you to watch yourself back?
Well, it brought back a real, Joe, I was really mad at myself. So I watched episode last week, not last night, and Michael said, remember when they played the Lakers in the finals?
Mm-hmm.
And Michael said, I felt different game one. The moment was too big. And I said, and that to me has been my biggest regret of my career. I did not have my team ready to play in game one. And I had never talked to Michael about that Lakers series, but when he showed, he said, yeah, that's the only game they lost to the Lakers too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
They beat him 4-0. He said, we were not ready for game one. The lights were too bright. And like I say, I had never talked to him about that. And I will always regret not having my team ready for game one. That's the only bad game we played. But I did not have my team ready to play game one, which is the only bad game we played. But that brought back some memories. I'm still pissed at myself. But not having my team ready to play.
You know, I haven't heard from Draymond lately after you were balling out there in that documentary yesterday. I'm pretty sure we won't hear from him for a while about you, right?
Hey, man, I love Draymond. He's a good dude. He's really a good dude. He's annoying. he's a good guy, and he's a good player. But I always laugh when these guys who are role players start thinking they're better than they are. Listen, if you play with Magic and Kareem and Worthy, you got a championship ring, but you're really just lucky and blessed. So be lucky and blessed, and don't be walking around town, but, no, I could have been better. Like, no, you could have been better. You were lucky to play with Magic, Kareem, and Worthy, and if you got some rings, God bless you and good luck to you. But don't start thinking like, well, if I had been on another team, I would. No, you wouldn't have. You're just lucky.
Charles, he said recently that they would have killed Shaq and Kobe in the pick and roll. Him and Steph would have killed Shaq in the pick and roll if they faced each other in a finals.
Oh, see now he's just getting crazy. Listen, he's a good player, but you see his limitation when there's no Klay, Steph, and Kevin Durant out there. He's averaging a whole triple single out there without those guys. So, listen, like I say, I like his personality. I like his work ethic. But he's just getting a little full of himself right now.
Yeah, no, we love him. He provides content. There's no question about that. He reminds me a little of you that way. I mean, you were clearly an elite player. I don't believe he's that. But we love having you on, brother. And thank you for taking the time. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Thanks again, man. Appreciate it. Really do.
Hey, thanks for having me. You guys, please be safe in L.A. And thank you.
All right, man, take care. There he is, Charles Barkley with us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. He's the best. I wish we could have had him on earlier and we would have talked to him for probably half an hour. But it was fun to have him on anyway, and I always appreciate the opportunity to just chat with him in any way, shape, or form. So thanks to you guys for tuning in. Thanks to those of you who called in. Thanks to PJ Carlissimo. Thanks to Michael Cooper. Thanks to Charles Barkley. You missed any of it, subscribe to the podcast. Thanks to Greg and Laura as well. We will talk to you tomorrow at 10. See ya. Have a great day.